Now then, just before you settle down on our nice and comfortable, deep-piled, plush pews, you nod your head and you're ready to go into a deep slumber. It's quiz time. Now, just now, you heard a reading from Galatians, and you know all about the fruit of the Spirit. The question, how many are there?
Nine.
Did I hear a word?
Yes.
Someone said nine, did they?
Yes.
Well, that's what you think they are, but it's not. It's wrong. There's only one fruit of the Spirit. The nine you heard are simply parts of the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit with multiple characteristics. The fruit is one because it comes as a whole. And you know they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And quite often they are grouped into three groups of three. Love, joy, and peace turn our thoughts to God. Patience, kindness, and goodness turn our attention to our fellow men and women. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control refer directly more to oneself. And you cannot cherry-pick the ones that you fancy. It's all or nothing. And in the main, of course, people don't like either or situations because they appear too definite, too inflexible. You know, such stark contrasts as good and evil, right and wrong, life and death, so on. Those people who don't like inflexibility try to devise middle ground positions between the stark contrasts. And although we live in a day and age very different from Bible times, eternal truths and principles do not change. Remember, Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And now, just as then, Jesus offers uncompromising choices. It's all or nothing situations, no middle ground. But he also offers help to those who turn to him and seek guidance through their situations. So all is not lost. Fruit of the Spirit is the term that sums up the nine attributes of a true Christian. These nine are characteristics of life in Christ when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, rather than the forces of the flesh. I won't read them out. You can read them. They're in Galatians just before this passage. Because you are a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides in you. Your body is a temple to the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit encourages the ninefold fruit in all of those who truly walk in the Holy Spirit. Let me emphasize, every true Christian will have spiritual fruit. Otherwise, that person is not a true believer. The fruit of the Spirit is the product of one's devotion to Christ in a Spirit-filled life. However, of course, these nine attributes are those of Jesus himself. So as mere humans, of course, we quite often fall short, and at times will be unfruitful. But the apostles knew this. Paul exhorted believers to engage in good works so they would not be unfruitful. He said, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. Peter, he also exhorted believers to add the qualities of Christian character to their faith, lest they be unfruitful. He said, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously both these passages indicate that a true believer might just be unfruitful at times. And the simple fact that both Peter and Paul exhort believers to be fruitful show that believers are not always fruitful. There are many of us who by no means measure up to the fullness of perfection of God or the glory of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is felt and known just the same. Quite often the fruits in others are not always outwardly obvious. But we must not judge by what we see, because the fruits might still be there. If people do not match up to what we believe are fruits, we must be careful, because our list of spiritual fruits may be too short, too selective, or prejudiced. Only God has a more accurate list than us. But we must put Jesus first in our lives, because of, as Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. By remaining in Christ, the Spirit-filled Christian will know a joy, will know a peace that is gained through a love of our Savior. This love is more usually seen in newer Christians. And I hope Freddie doesn't mind me saying here that when you see her, you know, coming lately to Christ, means that she has got the joy of Christ in her. It beams out of her. I hope I haven't embarrassed you, Freddie. Long-term Christians are not blasé, of course. They know in their hearts that the Lord is with them always. However, God would wish that as they've remained in their faith or matured in their faith, that the other fruit would gain a greater prominence, especially those fruit dealing with others. Patience, kindness, goodness. However, it's just those fruit that are difficult to control. So a believer will not express all the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit perfectly all the time, because, of course, we are far from perfect. But let the fruit of the Spirit flow from your very being. Spend time with your Lord and Savior. Love his word. Let it permeate through your life. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And let the fruit be manifest in your life. Let the Holy Spirit transform you, conform you into the image of Christ. The world will recognize you as a follower of Jesus by your new way of life. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. A true believer now, rejecting the way of the flesh, may now ask for the gifts of the Spirit. Do not mix up fruit of the Spirit with gifts of the Spirit. Quite often, people will pray for the fruits of the Spirit, but the nine parts of the fruit are not something that God undertakes for us. They are not gifts. They are your character as a Christian that you build up as your faith matures. If we are operating in the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit, we will be doing damage to the gospel. For as Paul says in that very famous chapter that you've all heard at every wedding, I should imagine, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 2, he says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, which is a gift of the Spirit, but have not love, which is a fruit of the Spirit, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, which are all gifts of the Spirit, but have not love, the fruit of the Spirit, remember, I am nothing." Jesus said, "By their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" The gifts are to be prayed for once you are a true Christian, filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Jeffrey had a vision of about a bowl of fruit some time ago, before he came to Budok, of course. It was unripe fruit. It was the Lord telling Jeffrey that he, who was full of the fruit of the Spirit, as Jeffrey is, must go and make the world different. Well, it led him here to Budok. We are part of Jeffrey's vision. We were the unripe fruit. Due to Jeffrey's leadership, we're getting juicier. But we must remain focused. Take time to study the fruit of the Spirit. You know where it is now in Galatians. Ensure that you take each one seriously. Remember that perfection is impossible, but you must strive for it until the day you die. And then as Christians filled with the Spirit, the next step is to ask for the gifts. Up until Pentecost, we shall concentrate on the fruit of the Spirit in church and in home groups. So if you're not in a home group, you better join one pronto. After Pentecost, we shall learn and pray for the gifts of the Spirit. Then as true Christians, we shall be free to assist Jeffrey in his mission. But I hope you see the seriousness of this teaching. It is a foundational and fundamental lesson that is to be practiced, cultivated, and matured by a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Fail to bear fruit, fail to see the kingdom of God. It's as simple as that. God gives us his grace in Christ, and he dwells within us by his Spirit. He continues to take the initiative in our lives, and we gratefully respond in love because of what he has done and in the power that he has given us. Thus he forms us more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit makes us more holy. And what does that holiness look like? It looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you bearing fruit for the glory of God? Let us pray.